Good morning. Welcome to worship this third Sunday of Easter. It is wonderful to see your faces. A warm welcome also to those who are joining us online today and worshiping remotely. We will begin this morning with a thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed in God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved across the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymn. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from Acts chapter 9. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city and you will be told what to do." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
second lesson is from the book of Revelations, chapter 5. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went ashore and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, follow me. The gospel of our risen Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. A new day has dawned. There are signs all over this gospel reading for today that this is a brand new day. The long night of an unsuccessful fishing expedition is over. It's just after daybreak when Jesus appears on the shore, and it's time for breakfast. Indeed, a new day has dawned. And with it, as with every new day, comes a new beginning and new possibilities, new opportunities, new challenges. Yet before this new day dawns, notice what Peter does and what the disciples who are with him do. They go fishing. They go back to what they know, what's familiar to them. Only now things are different. They can't simply go back to the way things were before. Things aren't the same as they used to be. Things have changed. They've changed. We're told they went back to what was familiar and they caught nothing. So the resurrected Jesus instructs these seasoned, yet defeated and perhaps deflated fishermen to try something new, to cast their net to the other side. And we're told that all of a sudden, they had an overflowing amount of fish in their net. It was bursting at the seams. There was a boatload of fish. The resurrected Jesus tells them to bring some of their catch and add it to the charcoal fire. And then Jesus invites them to an early morning breakfast on the beach. He invites them to come and eat with him. A new day has dawned. There are signs all around us. Signs of resurrection. New life. Signs that remind us that life continues and even flourishes in spite of everything that is wrong in this world, in spite of all of the challenges we're facing, in spite of a particularly difficult recent past that continues to haunt us, and in spite of all of the roadblocks and obstacles ahead of us, or the ones that you found as you navigated your way to church with the Eugene Marathon blocking your way, there are still so many signs of resurrection, signs of new life, signs of opportunities, signs of hope. And those signs are all around us all the time. As we recall the cross of Christ that led to the empty tomb at the dawn of that first glorious Easter morning, and as we're reminded of these post-resurrection encounters the disciples had with the risen Christ, we would do well to remember that indeed a new day has dawned. When we're feeling overwhelmed or discouraged, or maybe even despairing and hopeless, these signs of resurrection life can serve as wayfinding signs for us, signs that are pointing us to the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. Signs that point us in the right direction to help us find our way. Signs that lead us down a path where we can recognize the risen Christ in our midst. Like Peter and the others who were with him, we may be inclined to go back to what's familiar. And don't get me wrong, that's not entirely bad. There's something about what's familiar making us feel more comfortable and reassured. And in some ways, that's precisely what we as a faith community are trying to do. To return to some sense of our connection to the Creator and to our community, to one another. So there's nothing inherently bad about doing what's familiar, but it can't stop there. We're reestablishing and reclaiming many of our beloved traditions, particularly those that draw us closer to God, closer to one another, closer to the community that we are part of, and also closer to our neighbors in need. If that's what those traditions do, if they inspire us to be in community and in communion with Christ and one another, and to go out into the world and to share God's love, then those traditions that we hold near and dear are important. And it's okay to want to go back to what's familiar. But the dawning of a new day also encourages us to try something new. Like those experienced fishermen who had nothing to show for their long night of fishing. They could have balked. They could have thrown up their hands in the air and said, "Why go fishing again?" Instead, they listened to Jesus. They listened and they tried something new. They followed Jesus' instructions to cast their net to the other side. And suddenly their nets were overflowing with fish. Imagine what might happen if people of faith, people like us, were to listen closely and follow the Holy Spirit's nudging to try something new. Or what might happen if each of us individually or all of us collectively as a community of faith dared to be more like Peter? Might we be as impetuous as he was when he dove headfirst into the deep waters? In other words, as this new day is dawning upon us, might we dare to be all in as Peter was? And by saying all in, I mean all in. With our whole heart, all of our mind, our body, our spirits, our checkbooks. Might we be willing to jump into that sacramental waters where we began this morning in thanksgiving for our baptisms? Might we be willing to jump in, to dive right into that deep end of sacramental baptismal waters? The waters that washed us clean from the one who took on our sin and the sin of the whole world when he was nailed to a cross? Might we take up the risen Christ on his invitation to come and eat in the sacramental meal of bread and wine as we remember Christ's body broken and given to us and his blood shed for us and for all people for the forgiveness of sin? Might we throw caution to the wind and allow for the waters to wash over us, not knowing what's underneath or what's ahead, but trusting fully that God's hand is leading us and God's hand is guiding us into the dawning of a whole new day, and perhaps even a whole new way of being. Indeed, a new day has dawned. And yes, we are living into what has been coined by many as the new normal. But more importantly, we are being called to live into our always being made new identity as 21st century disciples of Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, where each new day, every moment, every breath we take is another opportunity to encounter the risen Christ, to be the hands and feet of the risen Christ, to let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to the risen Christ, to allow our hearts to beat in time with the very heart of God, and to live into the risen Christ's call to follow him until our work on earth is done and we receive the fullness of God's promise. This, my friends, is the gospel truth. A new day has dawned. A day overflowing with possibilities and opportunities to return to what is familiar, to try something new, to be all in, trusting that with each new day, we are indeed being encountered by the risen Christ, and we are being renewed in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
the whole church, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of new beginnings, a new day has dawned. Guide your church to live faithfully into your vision and send us into the world to invite others to come and see your wondrous acts of love, forgiveness, and grace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of creation, a new day has dawned. Help us to find ways to restore ecosystems along coastlands that have been devastated by natural forces or by human negligence. Revive plant and animal life that purifies air and water and supports all living things. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all nations, a new day has dawned. Empower world leaders and global citizens to work together for peaceful resolutions to conflict and to strive for justice in all the earth. We think today especially of those leaders who lead the world in seeking peace in the midst of violent conflict and war. We think also of our brethren in the Christian family who seek unity to live out your vision in the world in the midst of our own divisions. Today we lift especially to you our siblings in the Methodist tradition here in the United States and worldwide. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, a new day has dawned. Bring your healing presence and comfort to any in need. We pray especially today for baby Michael, Joshua Chamness, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Carolyn Evans, Joy Lathrop, and Marilyn Tollefson. For whom or what else do the people pray? For all those we've named aloud, and for those we hold silently in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of eternity, a new day has dawned. As we live into the fullness of your resurrection promise, and as we entrust our loved ones who have gone before us to your good care, lift up our voices with all your creatures on earth and the whole host of heaven, that together we may join in praising the risen Christ and bestowing upon him all blessing and honor and glory. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We'll receive our morning offerings. Let us pray. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal, and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to the fullness of life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. And as we come forward today, I invite you to receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. We are going to serve, Deacon Claire and myself, we'll serve this side first, and then we'll switch places and come and serve my right-hand side. And so please wait over here until this side is done, and then we'll trade places so that you will continue down the center aisle and back by the side aisle. Come, for all is now ready. We give you thanks, generous God, for in this bread and cup we have tasted the new heaven and the new earth, where hunger and thirst will be no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives all may know life in Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we return to a lot of our activities here at the church, I want to make a few announcements before the benediction. First, Vicar Ben is off this weekend and will be completing his internship with us at the end of May. And it gives me an opportunity today to announce that on June 5th at our semi-annual meeting, we will be voting on issuing a call to Ben to serve as associate pastor. And so the details for that are in the latest issue of the Central Light, which went out yesterday. You can read about it there. That is not the only item of business on that June 5th meeting date, but it is something that I wanted to get out to the congregation to have you begin to think about that as we prepare to issue a call and to vote to affirm that. So we will have an opportunity to hear more about that as the weeks progress. Second, I want to announce that today there's an opportunity to hear a Holocaust survivor speak at Temple Beth Israel at 4 p.m. This woman has written a book and shared personal stories of her life. Her family, they were friends with the Franks and Frank's parents, and she was also a friend with personal friends with Anne Frank's sister, and as siblings, of course, she knew Anne. Many of us will know her story through Anne Frank's works. But I do encourage you, if you'd like to attend that, to go and hear her speak. She's in her 90s, and as I understand it, still full of life. And so we give thanks for the witness of those people who are survivors of such a tragic time in our history. And then the other announcements are just simply that as you exit the church today, you're welcome to grab a cup of coffee and stay for a few moments to greet one another and visit together. Please stand as you're able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia.